Well, good morning. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here and not be bound to my home. I don't know about you, but I miss church, and I also miss seeing you guys, and I'm just thrilled to not be. I love my family, okay? Don't get me wrong. But we all know that we all get cabin fever, and that comes out in different ways. And so I'm just so glad to be here. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with someone in your life, and you're having this conversation. In the middle of the conversation, they say something like this, and you're sharing some great idea with them or some passionate part of your life, and they say, well, let me play the part of the devil's advocate. Now, I thought about that a lot this week. First of all, I don't like them very much, okay? Because who wants to be the devil's advocate? Because we don't like the devil, right? Okay, he's a liar, deceiver. So next time somebody says they're the devil's advocate, just say, well, I don't like the devil, okay? I mean, and I started thinking about this. I have never, ever in my whole life had somebody in the middle of a conversation say, well, let me be the Holy Spirit's advocate. Never. Never had that happen. I mean, never had anybody just say, well, let me, instead of being the devil's advocate, let me be the other part. And for some reason, we gravitate to the other part, and we kind of say, well, that idea won't work because of this, and that won't happen because of this, and we play all the negatives to it, and some people call it being a realist. I call it being a pessimist, okay? And we play all these different parts. And I want us to look and see that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in each of our lives. And we've been talking about this for several weeks. We looked at in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was alive. At creation, we talked about the Holy Spirit was alive and well in different battles and different warriors in the Old Testament and continued to move. We talked about how the Holy Spirit moved and is a part of the church today and the church of Acts. And so today, if you're kind of catching up with us, I'm going to try to bring you back up to speed where we all are. And where we left off 2 weeks ago, which seems like an eternity ago, was that the Holy Spirit is real and active in your daily life. The Holy Spirit is real and active in your daily life. We talked about coincidences not being coincidences. We talked about that the Holy Spirit is living and real and a part of your daily life. Now this morning, I would like you to admit something to me this morning. How many of you have your cell phones with you? All right, just grab that cell phone out for me for a minute. Mine is off, by the way, for those smart people who like to text message me, okay, in the middle of a sermon. I've had that happen before, okay, because I left my phone on for an illustration. You got your phones? Now, imagine if you were to go into your provider store, okay? My contract's up on my phone. My battery's taped on, okay? I'm pretty rough on phones. Imagine if I walked into my provider store, and I walked in and said, I want the best phone you've got. Oh, salesman loves me, okay? Best phone you've got. And I want the connector. I want the CD, the cigarette plug adapter so I can charge it in the car. I want Bluetooth so I can look like a cyborg walking around, okay? If you've got one of those, it just freaks me out a little bit, just to be honest with you. People talking, I think they're talking to me and they're talking to somebody else. I just can't get it. And you want every piece of equipment that goes with this phone, every piece of it. And then you say, but I don't want a service plan. Don't want one. Well, sir, this phone's not going to work if you don't get a service plan. And you say, I understand. And you take the phone home. You buy the phone. You pay full price because without a service plan, you're going to pay the full price. You pay the full price. You take it home. You plug it in. You charge it. You buy the little packet thing to wear on your hip. And you wear the phone. And you actually put the Bluetooth set in your ear. Okay? And you walk around, or on your ear, however you wear those things, and you walk around with this thing on, knowing that it will never, ever work. Right? Why? That sounds absolutely ridiculous to you, doesn't it? I mean, that just sounds like a complete waste of money, a complete waste of time to have this device and to have no connection, to never use it, to never key in on it, and to say, you know what, I'll just carry it around and I'll never ask it to do its part. I believe many of us are doing that spiritually, in that we have living inside of us, the Holy Spirit is real and it is active. And as we talked 2 weeks ago, it teaches us, it convicts us, it reminds us, it continues to help us grow in our faith. But my fear is many of us have, maybe you were 8 years old, maybe you were 18, maybe you were 58, and you made a decision and you came forward in church and you prayed to receive Christ. and you follow through and you're baptized. And you've never, ever moved forward in your faith since that day. And you say, yeah, well, I mean, I come to church and I do this thing. But you've never said, I want to understand and grasp who the Holy Spirit can be and is in my life. Instead, I think many of us are walking through life going, it's a nice phone. Doesn't work. It's a nice faith that I have and trust in Jesus Christ, a great fire insurance policy, but you know what? I'm not going to allow it to actually change me and redirect my life and guide me through this world that I live in. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But as I look around, I don't see a lot of people, including myself at times, remembering the power and the beautiful gift that Jesus promised us of the Holy Spirit. And he says this, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Scripture gives us evidence time and time again that if we repent, meaning that we are willing to change and turn from one direction towards Christ, that he will save us. And upon that moment of salvation, upon that moment of repentance, then we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's those that will argue when exactly you get the gift, but I believe in Scripture says we get the gift as believers, so I believe we get the gift. But I think today I want us to look at the Holy Spirit being real and active in your daily life, and I want us to move one step beyond that. The Holy Spirit teaches us, he comforts us, he convicts us, and I want to move us into something that's really even more dangerous today. The Holy Spirit shapes our conduct and our behavior. I know you missed 2 weeks of church, and this is what you get when you come back. The Holy Spirit shapes our conduct and our behavior. As we grow closer to him, as we have this relationship with the God, Holy Spirit enters us, becomes a part of us, guides us, leads us, comforts us, convicts us, but it also begins to shape you and to control and to give you the conduct and the behavior of a believer. I want us to look in Galatians chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, we'll look in Galatians chapter 5 through several verses this morning. I memorized where Galatians was as a kid by General Electric Power Company, all right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Some of you may have done that one too. Galatians in the New Testament. Paul here is talking to the church of Galatians, and what is taking place, the church of Galatians, what's taking place is the people had an influx of the Jewish believers who decided that they needed to add more rules to how it was to that you became a follower of Christ. And so they were coming to this point where they were saying, well, you have to do this and you have to follow circumcision. And Paul says, no. It's about freedom in Christ, trusting in him. That's what you have to do. That's how you believe. And so they get to this point in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And it says this, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, I want to read this morning out of the English Standard Version, which is what I study out of, but I want to read it for you this morning. It says this, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The later is really more accurate because it uses the phrase, walk by the Spirit. Now, we know, or we think we know, when we hear the word walk, what it means, right? Walking means that I, in a forward progress, do this, right? All right, would you stand up with me for a minute? Just everybody stand up. Would you move your feet as if you were walking right now? Just walk in place. Okay. We call that doing what? Walking in place, don't we? All right, you can sit down. Can I tell you something? By the definition, I also want to make sure you are awake, okay? Some of you are like, great, I could take my jacket off during that time. That's perfect. What I want you to understand is that was not walking. By the definition of the word walk, we're going to really dig into the word walk here because it's extremely important this morning. The word walk means to make forward progress. You were marching in place. You were not walking. There's no way that can be considered walking. It can't be described as walking. The word walk here is peripateo, all right? And it means to behave or conduct yourselves or to walk. Now, I'm going to try to teach you a little bit of Greek because I don't know too much because I remember forgot a lot of it by seminary. But I want to try because this is incredibly important for us to understand. Now, in the Greek language is even, well, it's not as confusing as the English language because it has rules that it follows and the English language doesn't, okay? But the Greek language, they believed you had a tense of a verb. You had the mood of a verb. And this verb was in the present tense. The present tense mean that it was active and ongoing, okay? That's the mood in which this verb walk is taking place. And the mood was imperative. Now, imperative, most of us know what that word means, but in the grammar of Greek, it means it is a command, okay? It's not a suggestion. It's not maybe you should, okay? It's active, imperative, and there's a couple other descriptions for this word of walk that we won't get into this morning in the Greek, but it talks about and gives us the idea that it is a fully functioning, progressing forward, continual action that we are doing in our lives. And guess what? It's not optional. It's not optional. When I was in high school, we did one of those things, and I know they still do it now. In high school, you did the activity where they try to teach you and try to help you understand what it would be like if you were to drive impaired. You know what I'm talking about? And they put the little goggles on you, and they put you in the golf cart. You drive around, hit the cones, make a fool out of yourself. Okay, everybody laughs at you. They do it. They do the same thing. Then they get you out, and when they did this in my high school, they actually, at least the class I was in, I don't remember what class it was, but they took us out, and they left the glasses on us, and they had taped a white line, and they said, "Now we want you to walk the white line." Now, I've never been arrested, never been pulled over to say walk the line. I've got a couple speeding tickets, but they're way in the past. I'm just confessing for you, okay? But I can tell you now, if I was ever pulled over and a state trooper said, walk the line, guess what I would do? Walk the line, because he is speaking in the present imperative mood. You got it? And you understand when a state trooper says, walk the line. He means to get over there on the line, however you're going to do it, and walk on that line. It's not a suggestion, is it? He's not saying, I'll tell you what, if you feel like in the next 10 minutes, if you would walk the line. No, walk the line. That's the idea of this verb. When we read through this and you read through this passage and we deal with this idea, it is our command as believers, not our suggestion. We have to understand this or the rest of this passage doesn't connect with us. This verb says to progress forward actively in your life. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. This idea is a progress. It is one of action. But notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say walk by Michael's power or walk by Steve's power or walk by put your name in power. It says walk by, okay, meaning a part of, not just if you want to take bring him along. Walk by the Spirit, meaning in our growing relationship with Christ. If we are going to be connected and growing in our faith, this idea alone conveys a huge message to each of us in this room. If we are claiming to live an obedient life of Christ, we should be walking in a progressive, forward, imperative, active mood, command with, by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now that's amenable, okay? You don't have to amen it, but because I want you to see something. That is an incredible thing for us to have the opportunity to walk by the Spirit, not walk by my power, not to go through life on my desires and my wishes, but to walk by the Spirit, by the Spirit's power in my life. Because, see, as we get to this next passage of Scripture, you're going to look at this list and go, man, I've done some of those things. And you're going to say, I know what you're getting at, Pastor. I'm supposed to live a holy life. I'm supposed to live a life where I'm walking and I'm growing in my faith. And John MacArthur makes this statement, holy living does not come from our performances for God, but from His performance through us by His own Spirit. See, many of us are trying our best to go through this life and do everything we can do to be more spiritual, and we're trying to do it on our power and our desires and our wishes. And this passage of Scripture says, listen, Michael, church member, visitor, whoever you are, you're not walking by your power anymore. You're walking by the Spirit. The Spirit is your guide. The Spirit is who you're supposed to be a part of and living inside of you. Walk by the Spirit to progress, to command, to go forward. Are you getting the word walk's pretty important here? Okay. Because we have to be ready to take us. We have to be ready to be taken to wherever the Holy Spirit leads us. We have to be willing to be changed in the ways that the Holy Spirit wants to change us. We have to be willing to be led. Because Paul goes further into this next passage to help us understand that there are two opposing ways of life. And he's going to talk about this because we're going to walk by the Spirit. And he talks about two opposing ways of life. He talks about the life of the flesh, meaning signifying our life to the Galatians, their life before Christ. And then there's the life of the Spirit, our life since Christ. Now, he talks about two lifestyles, and I want us to see here this morning that these are two incredible opposite sets of lists. Now, it's become popular the last couple years for a new type of car. Some of you may have one of these. They're called hybrids. Okay? A hybrid is a mixture, okay? It's supposed to be, by definition, it's a mixture of two things to make something better, okay? To make something more productive. And so some of you have a hybrid car. It mixes fuel and battery power, okay? Some of you have those type of cars. I don't, and you have one of those cars. And it's supposed to work together to produce better fuel economy. It's a hybrid. I think that some of us have gotten into our mind that we can take these next two lists, the flesh and the spirit, and put them together and create some type of a hybrid believer. I really do. And you look at this list and go, well, yeah, I mean, I do some of these and some of these. I mean, how do I do this? We do this by walking by the Spirit. There is no such thing as a hybrid believer where you take part of the flesh and say, I like those pieces and I like this part of the Holy Spirit, especially not the convicting part. I'll leave that part alone. But I like the comfort part and the strength part. And I'll take these two and I'll put them together and I'll call it a new thing. And this is how I'll go through life. And I want to tell you this morning, that is not what Paul tells us and gives us evidence of. And I want to look at this list for just a minute. I mean, this is going to blow you away, all right? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Literally, Paul is saying, duh, okay? Do I really need to list this list? Because they are so obvious, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. Sexual immorality. The word immorality comes from the Greek word porneia. You can pretty much guess what word we get from that. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't like that last part of that phrase. Because I'm pretty sure that sometime this week, actually I know there's a part in this last week, where you see that little part right there, the little fits of rage? If you were stuck in your house for 4 days with four kids, you had a moment like that. You may not have any kids. It may be you and your spouse, and you had a fit of rage. And you go, well, my goodness, everybody in this room has done something on this list. I mean, I've been jealous. Some of these other ones, you go, man, I'm glad I'm not on those. I'll take the fits of rage anytime over some of those other ones on that list. But Paul is saying here, and he makes a clear distinction here, those who live like this. Now this is an incredible important phrase for us to understand. And again, I'm going to give you a little bit more Greek than maybe, and a little bit more background, but I want you to make sure you understand. Because if I took a poll this morning and said, hey, raise your hand if you committed one of these this week, and didn't ask you which one, probably almost all of us would go, yeah, yep. I got angry this week. Oh, man, I got jealous. Or man, I hate to admit it, but there was some immorality in my life this week. But I want you to see something that is incredibly important for us to understand. It says, those who live like this. This does not convey the idea that if I commit one of these sins once, that I'm banned. Okay? This idea and this verb here gives us the idea that if we are currently in an ongoing lifestyle of one of these sinful behaviors, you understand? You see the difference? Shake your heads yes, please, on the back row. You understand the difference? If I commit one of these one time, it's not an ongoing process. If I live like this, according to Paul, then I am in this behavior. And here's the other part of this that this verb conveys. I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't convict me. It doesn't bother me at all. And if you follow this verb list and this list of things here, this list of sinful desires and the flesh, he says, those who live like this, meaning those who, if you are someone, and I'm not trying to pick on you or be harsh to you, this is just what Paul says. You can pick on Paul when you get to heaven, okay? He just says, listen, if you are living a daily lifestyle and you have no conviction and this is your lifestyle, you need to take a hard look at your faith. I didn't say that. Paul said that. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. If this is your lifestyle and nothing changes in your life when you enter a relationship with Christ and you make that decision when you were 8, 18, 58, and some of those behaviors you were doing when you were 18, you still continue to do, and they're on this list, then you need to go back to age 18 and take a hard look at your faith. That's harsh. That's strong. But see, here's the idea. Here's what you got to understand. If I'm walking by the Spirit, guess what I can't do at the same time? I can't walk by the flesh. Because if I'm making forward progress, remember, it's not just walking in place. If I'm making forward progress with the Spirit, and one of these is a continued, unconvicted, I can live this life, no guilt, doesn't bother me, I'll continue to do the rest of my life, I don't care what the Bible says, then you have an issue. You are walking not with the Spirit, you are walking with the flesh, and the two can't go in the same direction at the same time. You can't walk by both of them going the same direction because they don't go that way. Because you see, Paul just is being honest with us. And he doesn't want us to forget. Listen, he gives us this list and he gives us these ideas and he gives us this guideline to say, if you walk by the Spirit, he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the reality is, the Holy Spirit should be shaping your conduct and your behavior to live this life. Each and every day, the Holy Spirit should be shaping your conduct and your behavior, whether you are 5 years old, whether you are 95 years old, whatever the case is, wherever you fit in between, the Holy Spirit should be actively guiding you, helping you see the needs of your conduct that need to be changed. The behaviors that need to be given up. The ones on this list and the ones that all, and also Paul said this at the end of this, he says, and the like, because he doesn't even complete the list. He knows there's more to the list. But the Holy Spirit shapes our conduct and our behavior. But see, here's the good news. Listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the next verses, many of us are familiar with this, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. So see, we've got one list over here, and it's not good to turn your back on the camera, but I'm going to do it. If we walk by the flesh, we're walking hand in hand with the flesh, we're going this way. If I'm walking by the Spirit, I'm locking arms in arm, and I'm going this way. If I follow the flesh, I've got that list. If I walk by the Spirit, I have these things growing and living in my life. Now, it's important that you understand this. It says, says fruit, not fruits, all right? Which is a little confusing because there's a plural list right there. I mean, it's a whole list of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a bunch of things, right? It's not one fruit. It is one fruit according to this scripture. When we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we are given the fruit, a big conglomeration of things into our lives that begins to change us. The best way I can describe this in my life recently is, of course, you guys know this, we adopted a little girl, Sonia. And when Sonia was adopted into our family, guess what? She didn't get adopted into a mom and a dad. She got adopted into a family. And that family represents what? More than just a mom and dad. That family means mom, dad, meemaw, pawpaw, pawpaw, nanny, poppy, nanny, nana. See, I get them all wrong. It includes several aunts and uncles. It includes over a dozen cousins, okay? I mean, she got all of it, good and bad. She got all of us, whether she wanted us or not. She got all of that fruit in one move. And you as a believer, when you trusted in Christ and He, the Spirit, came to live in you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is in your life. Several months ago, I had somebody who's a friend of mine. He said, we were having a conversation. And he said, I just got to tell you, I'm not a real compassionate and gentle person. I just don't have that gift. I just sat there in amazement. I was in shock. This is a believer. Guess what? They've got it. It's in them. And you say, oh, I'm just not a real gentle person. I'm just not a real self-controlled person. You should be. Why? Because you're walking by the Spirit. Your behavior should be being shaped. And your conduct should be changing because you're walking, progressing with the Holy Spirit. You're not doing it on your own. It's not your own power. You're not figuring out how to live this life. You're walking by the Spirit. And when you have the fruit come into your life, your personality changes. Your desires should change. How you love others should change. How you handle difficulties should change. And you say, well, I may have those, but man, I don't have a lot of them. I used to tell my wife I had the fruit of the Spirit called sarcasm. She told me that wasn't on the list. And I really looked hard trying to figure out some Greek way that wasn't in there, but it's not in there. But I do have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we continue to move forward in the Spirit, then we continue to understand and grasp and have the ability to put those as a part of our daily lives. Because if we walk by the Spirit, not by walk by my power, I walk by the Spirit, I progress forward, then I am being changed. I'm making forward progress. Verse 24 through 26 says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus, and here's how we move through this, have crucified the sinful nature. Who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified at the cross. Your sinful desires and nature was crucified at the cross with its passions and its desires. It's gone. It's no longer a part of your life. He's taken that guilt. He's taken that sin. Since we live, here we go again. We live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The Holy Spirit is real and active in your daily life. The Holy Spirit shapes your conduct and your behavior. But I want you to see something here because this is beautiful how Paul writes. Because see, in this verse, in verse 21, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Sounds like walking, doesn't it? Sounds like walking. Sounds like the same idea as the beginning of the verse. Wrong, it's a different verb. Okay, it's a trick question. All right, at the beginning, he uses one word, which means to walk in forward progress. Now he uses another word for the word walk, stoikel. It's a different word in Greek, and it has a different meaning. It means to walk locked arm and arm with as going into battle. Oh my goodness, when you look at this, Hold it. We got the list of the flesh. We got the list of the Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit, Pastor. I'm going to do that. I want to pursue that. And he says, listen, so you're walking. You're going to make progress. And you're not just making progress. He says, listen, I want you to walk step in step with the Spirit as if marching into battle. Because you know it and I know it. When you leave this place today, you're walking into a battle. When you leave this place today, and maybe even while I'm preaching right now, you are in an emotional and a spiritual battle. And God says through His Word, through the Apostle Paul, He says, listen, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's me, have crucified the sinful nature of its passions and desires since we live by the Spirit, which I'm supposed to be doing, and then we walk in step with the Spirit. So I'm making forward progress, locked arm in arm, going into battle with the Spirit. That's what you have in your life as a believer. But many of us are walking through life as if we have the Holy Spirit, but we don't have connection. As if it's not a part of your daily life. And just as silly as that would be for this device, it's even more silly and ridiculous and sinful for you and your spiritual life. You are to live, I am to live by the Spirit, to walk by, with progress, arm in arm, my behavior being shaped, my conduct being changed. The Holy Spirit is not a lucky charm. The Holy Spirit is not a mystery visitor, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. The Holy Spirit is not some lucky rabbit's foot you pull out of your pocket and you keep it in your pocket and you rub it in the middle of a bad situation and poof, everything changes. The Holy Spirit is not a distant power. The Holy Spirit is real and active in your life. But the Holy Spirit is also shaping you, changing you, convicting you, and helping you to walk by His Spirit, to make progress in your faith. I would have a hard time believing that if I ask you guys, this time next year, do you want to be the same place you are spiritually as you are right now? There's probably none of you that would say, no, I want to stay right here. I don't want to go any further spiritually. But if you want to move forward spiritually, Paul tells you how. Walk hand in hand with the Spirit, trusting Him, believing Him, knowing He's a part of your active in your daily life. So today, are you living by the Spirit? Are you willing for your behavior to be shaped, for your conduct to be examined, and to say, you know what, I no longer want the other list. I want love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I want those things more and more and more and more. And I'll tell you how we do that. Some people say, listen, I know I got the fruit of the Spirit living in me, but I really haven't grown in my faith. One author said this. It's like if you're standing in the orchard and you're standing there with a bucket and there's someone up in the tree and they're picking oranges and they're dropping them down into your bucket. And your bucket continues to fill up with that fruit. But the moment you move out from underneath that person tossing down the fruit and you begin to be disobedient and you step further and further away from that fruit dropping down, you still got the fruits in your basket, but you're not adding to it. This morning I would ask you to stand under God's desires and protection for your life and say, okay, God, I want to be changed. I want my life to be rearranged. I want my conduct to no longer look like the world. There's no hybrid. I want to look like You. I want to walk by the Spirit, so fill me up. I'll stand right here. Fill this fruit up. Help it to continue to grow in my life and change me. Change my behavior. Let's pray. God, I come to You this morning, and I know this is a heavy passage of Scripture, and if we look at it honestly, God, it's very difficult. But God, it's also very encouraging. It's encouraging because it talks about what our life should look like as a believer if we walk by the Spirit, make progress with the Spirit, to lock arms in arms with the Spirit as if going into battle. And God, we know we step into a battle the moment we leave this place, maybe even before. Are we willing to live by Your Spirit? God, during this invitation this morning, there may be some who say, I've been living with that other list. And I may have even been in church for a long part of my life, but I've lived my life and it doesn't bother me to live on that list. It doesn't bother me for those things to be a part of my life. And God, I would ask You to convict and to challenge and to change that person's direction even this morning. God, and let them know this morning if they want to talk with me, to share with me what's going on in their lives, that God, You want to change them. because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. But God, so many of us are going through our lives ho-hum, heads down, not believing that you still work and move. And God, the Holy Spirit is walking, if we choose to walk by the Spirit, making progress, arm in arm, through our difficult times, through our temptations, we're walking by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of our lives to convict us, to change us, to change and shape our conduct and our behavior. God, would you allow it to shape us this morning? God, during this invitation, there may be some who say, listen, I just need to come use this altar. I just need to pray. I need to just kneel where I am. And just say, God, will you just clean me up today? Help me to get rid of these things and to walk with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because there is no law against those things. You can have as much of those as you want. God, this morning as we stand, may we take an honest evaluation of our lives and examine our faith and be willing to live and walk by the Spirit.